race this year that hasn't happened in 213 years. 213 years. And it's not going to happen for a long time again. This cicada hatch, did we talk about the cicadas before? So the cicada hatch, and believe me, wait till you hear the jokes, because I went to cicada jokes. But there's nothing out there, so I had to be really inventive. It took me a while to think of any, like, three jokes I could get out of cicadas. But so the cicadas, I guess there's like different broods, different families of cicadas. So what happens this year in 2024 hasn't happened since early, 213 years ago. So there's a co-emergence. So there's two types of broods of cicadas that emerged this year that hasn't happened. So there's going to be trillions of cicadas all over the place. That's what they're saying. So it's interesting because when I was driving back from, this is how boring I guess I can be. I was driving back from Pittsburgh and I was listening to this whole thing on cicadas. And I was just like, they're talking about the birds. So the cicadas, when they hatch, right? They come out of the ground, they hatch, they're in all the trees in the woods and the forest. They say the birds go nuts. So the birds, the two things that really start to produce better are birds. When the cicada like hatch happens like this, the birds, because there's so much food, right? So then they have more energy, and then they're mating more, and they have bigger nests, I guess, with eggs and all sorts of stuff. So after a cicada hatch, they see a bigger bird population. But then also when the cicadas hatch, the caterpillars are left alone. Like, you know, the caterpillars that they're, what are they called? The what? Yeah, the tent caterpillars, what are they called? Gypsy moth, right. So the tent caterpillars, gypsy moth, you'll see them, like, the birds don't want anything to do with them. They're like, you know, they're every year. That's like the delicacy every year. Like, then all of a sudden, boom, there's cicadas. So they all go for the cicadas and they're all over the place. So I thought it was really interesting I was listening to this forestry station and they were just talking about the whole lifespan of the cicadas. And then last night, cicadas, you can eat them. Did you know that? So what's that? Yeah. So I was reading about this going, they had these recipes online so the FDA actually came out this year and said, if you're allergic to shellfish, don't eat. Or, you know, fish don't eat cicadas because they're somehow related in the same type of family. But they said they're supposed to be really good, nutty type of flavor. So I'm going to find some. What's that? Yeah. So I'm going to find some. And when I find some, I'm going to find a whole big pot, and then we're going to have a potluck. So everybody would have to. So anyway, so that's 213 years. So we're having this dual emergence of these two types of broods of cicadas. Where do cicadas like to hang out? At the arcada. Cicada, arcada, okay. I'm telling you, these are trials. Yeah, we need a gong. You have a gong show. How do young cicadas always show respect to their elders? They always say, yes, sir, cicada. Yes, sir, sir, sir. Okay, yeah, yep. All right, the last and final, this is the best one of all time. What did one cicada say to the other cicada? What's all the buzz? Yep, there you go. Yep. All right, good job, Beth. The scary thing is she got it. Okay? Now, there were a couple of jokes online about cicadas, but they were, like, really stupid. Like, I mean, worse than these. And I was like, I can't even say this. All right, but last couple of weeks, we've been going over Israel. And we're going to step back and go over Israel again today. Part three. What I call the Israel today, we started with Israel Jacob, and then with Israel Jacob, and how the church fits in. And today we're looking at Israel and the church. How does that fit? That we talked about it briefly last Sunday, two Sundays ago, but really like the grafting of the Gentile church into the Israel remnant, how Christians fit into this salvation plan based from Israel. So that's what we're really looking at that this morning, that grafting, because we talked about the replacement theology, where a lot of people are talking about the church has overtaken Israel. Israel is no longer needed. It's all about the church. So Paul is pretty clear on that. So we're going to open up in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you for just your nature. We love nature, Lord. I love nature. I know many in here do. And I thank you for just the time that we can listen to nature, the buzzing of birds and insects and bees and just the trees coming with the leaves coming in and the grass. And just, Lord, you have made such a beautiful world. Lord, you really have, and we thank you. And as we look at that world, and as we're in the world while we're living, just thank you for such the beauty that we can see. Lord, help us to understand more about your covenant and promise with Israel, and help us to be understanding that better so we can, you know, just share others your word correctly. In your name we pray, amen. This past week, I was in business in Ohio, and it's funny because this came up, Israel, right? So it's all over. We still hear about it. We all know it's still going on in college campuses and all this type of stuff going on with the anti-Israel movement. I was in this guy's office. I stopped in this guy's place for 30 years, and he sits in the same chair for the last 30 years behind the same glass window for 30 years watching this line run, right? And so we were talking, and he said, well, Jeff, he said, you're a holy roller. Yeah, I've shared with him for years, right? And he knows I'm a Christian, and that's one of the best things I think about being in business. I get to go into these people's offices. I get to talk to people, and we talk about the Lord. They don't go to church. They might not step into a church, but we talk about the Lord, and they have questions. And so this meeting actually became longer because then we got talking about this specific topic, Israel. He said, Jeff, you're a holy roller. Tell me, what's this whole deal with Israel? He said, come on. He said, honestly. And he was a guy that went to church, then didn't go to church. He told me before he was a Christian, that he was saved. He's confused, right? He's one of those guys that's confused. Exactly where Satan wants people to be. Confused, and they look at the thing and say, well, that's not right. Why should the Israel people be the chosen one? What makes them chosen? So his comment was, well, of course they're the chosen one. They're the ones that wrote the Bible. He said, of course they're going to be the chosen one. You know, and so his whole concept that Israel is chosen because they made themselves chosen. And he said, well, I've read all of the Bible, and he probably has. And so we had this long discussion about Israel and how Christians fit into Israel. So it's like exactly along this line. And why did that stem up? Because of our society, of what's going on in our society. That's where I was going to start this morning. But then, as I was studying this week, and I walked out the door this morning in the back. So I go out and pray, and I walk out the side door. It's nice having when everyone's back in the side, but it kind of ruined my loop. So I always went through that side of the door when you guys are having Bible study. I couldn't go through that side. But today I went through that side again. As soon as I walked through that door into that parking lot, the Lord, he told me what to do. He told me something different. So we're still being here. But what I was going to end with on the service today is what popped into my mind of where we should start. We're going to start in the very last verse that I was going to end with, because it impacted me when I was praying this morning. And I was like, okay, Lord, I don't know why you want me to do this, but so I prayed this morning over and over, exactly this. In Romans 11, so now my notes are going to be different. I don't know where we're going to be ending up, but Romans 11, verse 36. This is where we're starting with. Because it's God. It says, and so this is Paul speaking of God. And Paul says, for from him, from God, and through him, through God, and to him, to God, are all things. How can you argue with that? I was like, okay, Lord. I don't know what you want me to do with that, but it's when I read that, I've read it many times. This morning, the Lord just touched my heart with it. For from him, from God, and through him, through God, and to him, to God, are all things. All things are because of God. All things are through God. And all things are for God. Right? I'm here because of God. You're here because of God. This church is here because of God. This planet is here because of God. Salvation is here because of God. Turmoil, stress, there's this, people can be saved through God. People, did God bring sin into the world? No, he did not, but he allowed it through man's sin, through our choices. But all things are through God. Israel is through God. The system of Israel, why people can't understand it, is because many times I don't understand it. And many times when I had this discussion with this guy in this factory, we were back and forth. He doubted. And when I talked about it, I said, this is what scripture says. He's like, well, how can that be? Because why? Because he's being deceived. The deception that is taking place, people forget this. Because of God, all things are from God, the creator, who spoke out of his mouth and it was created. That's huge, right? All things are through God. So no matter what we think is going on, how bad something looks, how things might be so awful, we need to keep walking through God. And then it's for God, for God's purpose, for God's purpose. So that's where I wanted to start. That's where we're going to start right off the get-go, because when we talk about Israel, people don't understand why Israel is the chosen people. And when they hear about, I'm going to tell you honestly, when you hear about when Palestinians say, well, they've taken our land or this and that. I mean, don't you, as an American, we're all about freedom I know I'd be like, well, hey, I can see their point. And I can see their point. If you feel like, hey, these people came and invaded our land, but it's not what I think, it's not about, because it's what God says. By God, through God, for God. That's what we need to remember, and that's where this deception comes in, and people lose track. Same thing is happening with replacement theology, that the church has not overtaken the place of Israel. Israel is Israel. Why? Why are Israel the chosen people? By God, through God, for God. Because that's what God said. That's how he has it planned out. And this is why. So I'm going to start in verse 16. I'm going to go back to verse 16. Romans 11, 16. We're going to start with here as we look at the grafting, and we talk about the branches. So that's kind of why the forest and the cicadas kind of was a perfect fit today, because we're talking about grafting in branches. How many times have we heard about the church is grafted in to Israel? That's the place of the church. So it starts at the end of 16. If the root is holy, so are the branches. So if the root is holy, then so are the branches. And then that's where we're starting with when we look at the Gentiles and the church. We're starting with this root, and we as a branch are going to be grafted into that root. And then Paul goes on and says, if some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you, church. American church, when we get arrogant, and I hate to say it because I love America, but when we have so much, so many times, people get arrogant. And the arrogance, our placement as Gentiles, as the church, we are just grafted in to suck off of that nourishing sap from the root. And that root goes down to where? Jacob, Israel, Isaac, Abraham. That root is Abraham that comes up out, that comes to Israel, that the Gentiles then, we are grafted in. And if you ever understood and looked at grafting, right? Have you ever grafted something? Has anyone ever grafted a Bob? How does that work? And then it heals itself into that trunk, right? And then it grows. Did you use the same kind of tree to the same kind of tree? But it was the same, it was all the same species. Yeah. Thanks, Bob. So when you graft something in, and what we're talking about, when Paul talks about it, is like the Gentiles, we're the wild ones. And as we go on to see here that the Gentiles were wild. They're like the wild people. You know, I guess we're wild. That's why Gil sits back there and makes fun of me. No, I'm just kidding, Gil. So, but the Gentiles were the wild things. They weren't the cultivated root. That root, cultivated root, was from Abraham. And we know that cultivated root became the cultivated root for one specific reason, which we know is why Abraham was the line of Abraham through Isaac to Jacob became Israel, because of his faith. The faith. All other people during that time, we didn't see, no other person had that faith that Abraham had. And God made this promise, this covenant, and that covenant is what we still work on today. But the church now, so the church, the Gentiles, grafted into that root, that stem, we're taking that nourishment, and the church grows from the root. It's not the other way around. Last I knew, that doesn't work, would it, Bob? Like, that root wouldn't grow because of the branch. So, many people in the Christian community think, well, we're the church. We're the ones that are running the operation. We're the church. Eh. Going back to where we started, verse 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. The root, back to Abraham, back to his faith in God, the Almighty. All things are running to God and through God. That's why the existence is. Okay. I don't even know where I stopped. Verse 18. Do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you, church. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Okay, granted, he said. But they were broken off. Why? Because of their unbelief, and you stand by faith, church. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid, for For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider this, therefore, the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not present, and if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. The Israelite people, they can be grafted in again because they're the natural branch. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? Okay. Sometimes you look at this and you can think about this, and I was milling over this one in my head. Because it sounds like here, my wire's running out. It sounds like here that it almost sounds like, hey, we can be discarded, doesn't it? It sounds like if we lose faith, we can be discarded because we can be cut off. That's what it sounds like. So when you think about that and you think about the debate people have about eternal security, I hold to the fact that I believe in eternal security. I believe that once you come to Christ and give your life to Christ and you are there and your heart is coming to Christ and you're giving him your sins, that I'm saved. And I feel, and I, from what I see from scripture, that you can have bad days. You can bounce around and have problems and have issues and even fall away sometimes. And you're still going to have that salvation. Because we see it with who? We see it with Peter, right? Peter denied Jesus and Peter's the apostle, and he denied and he cursed him out. He said, I don't know that guy, and he cursed him. So we see those things in scripture, right? So when you look at this, you think about, okay, now we're going to be cut off this branch. If we lose faith, can we be cut off? Now, yes, scripture tells us we can be cut off, but it's the branch. So when we talk about the branch, we have to look about, so we think about Israel and the root, and then we think about the branch. So this branch isn't really talking about the fruit, okay, because I would be a fruit. I'm a Gentile. I'm off of the Gentile branch. I'm a piece of fruit that was gleaned off of that Gentile branch. It doesn't say that the fruit's all going to be squished up and cast into the pit forever. It says the branch. So when I read this, it kind of looks at like we're looking at, sometimes you're looking at it individually, but this is more looking at, we're talking about a nation of Israel, and then we're talking about the universal church, the Gentiles. That's what we're looking at. So if the natural branch from that olive tree, which we talked about last week, was impervious, they were hardened of heart, they weren't listening, they were unfaithful, they got chopped off. For the reason specifically, so the Gentiles would see that the Gentiles could be offered this grace, this mercy, and find salvation. So we're looking at it this more of as a nation. So the nation of Israel, because we know what we talked about before. The branch was cut off, but there's a remnant. There's a remnant. That remnant that's still there. People are still getting saved. There's still Jewish people, Israeli people, who are finding the Messiah, holding to the Messiah, and they have faith in the Messiah. There's Gentiles who, in the universal church, were Gentiles. We talk about the church, and there's how many different churches out there, right? And there's churches that are this, and churches that are that, and there's churches that teach Scripture, and there's churches that don't teach Scripture. And God says, I can chop you off anytime. And that branch can be chopped. I think it's talking here about the overall universal church, because with the Gentiles, there's going to be, it doesn't say this here, but there's like the remnant there too, because there's that fruit that comes off, and I'll make the point here, that fruit that comes off of that branch. I'm a piece of fruit. A juicy piece of fruit I am. Sometimes too juicy when I eat too much. But anyhow, I don't know where that came from. Verse 25. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles have come in. And so all Israel will be saved, as it is written. The deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, from Israel. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. So we know. I don't know the number. We know there's a number. There's a number of Gentiles that are accounted for, because when we get back to the elect, the predestination, all that stuff that God knows, right? But once again, where did we start? We started in verse 36. For from him, through him, and to him are all things. So how can I understand the predestination issue when you're talking about God? How can I really understand this whole concept of God hardening a people's heart that were the chosen one, that they were grafted, that we're grafted into this root because of their forefathers? How in my mind, really, how are we to understand that? I can only understand it through this verse. That's the only way I can understand it. For from him and through him and to him are all things. So through God's plan, and it's like even that, how can you understand God's plan when there's this God that has always been in existence? How did he make this plan? Because he's always been. How can I understand that? So when we talk about this, and the church steps out and says, well, Israel isn't important anymore because we're the church. God has a plan. The Gentiles have been grafted into that trunk to suck off of that sap from the root, not vice versa, or however that saying goes, vice versa. The church finds its salvation. The church finds its existence through Christ. I should say the Gentiles, because there are Israelites that are part of the church. But we're still all going back, we as the church, into that trunk, that branch that's sucking off of that root from that promise that God made so many years ago. Verse 28, as far as the gospel is concerned, we're talking about the Jews here, as far as the gospel is concerned, so what's the gospel? The gospel is Jesus Christ, right? Death, burial, resurrection, salvation through Christ, the gospel. So as far as that, the gospel is concerned, they, the Jews, are enemies. Why? On our account. They're enemies on our account, because Paul talked about this before. They're hardened. They became enemies so God could call the Gentiles. And then we go back to how many will be called, because there's a limit. And we saw that in verse 25. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles have come in. So what's that number? Because the way when you read this, eventually Israel is going to come back. Eventually, the church, as we know it, that's grafted in, the Gentiles, because there's only two types of people. There's Jews, Israels, and the Gentiles. And they're coming from this root. Eventually, once that number's hit, our branch is getting chopped. That's what I read. When does that happen? I don't know. But we can kind of see it now, can't we? We can see now across the world, and especially in our nation, from Gentile people, from people that aren't Jews, that they have a hardening of their heart. They don't want to follow God. They want to live the way they want to live. They want to do what they want to do. And they walk away from anything to do with any type of godliness. And that's when we say, when that starts to happen, the branch is going to get cut off. Because only so many people from the Gentiles, when that number is at the number that God has planned, which, because it's through God, for God, through God, and to God, that's what he says. Why? That's what he says. I don't know why. That's what he says. I don't know that mystery. I can try to understand that mystery. I just have to put my trust in God to know that this is what God says. Praising God that I came from a branch that's still intact, that I was a piece of fruit that was plucked off of that tree, that olive tree, and believers, you as well. We were the fruit based on there, that tree. Verse 30, just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their, as the Jews, as Israel's disobedience. So the Gentiles, we talked about this before, we received mercy because of their disbelief. So they too have now been disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to us. Now they're going to receive mercy. The Jewish people, as the chosen people, they got arrogant too, didn't they? They did get arrogant. And we see it in scripture, and they walked away from God and they came back to God, and they walked away from God and they came back to God. We see it all through Judges, how this took place, and they became arrogant and they walked, and we saw when Elijah called out and said, kill these people because they're wicked people. And then they come back and they have this constant walking and going. And we see that with the Gentiles. We're doing that now. The Gentiles are doing that now, and we walk and we come back. And even after 9/11, I'll never forget that 9/11, we were in church. The churches at the time, yeah, there was people at church, but not a whole lot of people. 9/11 hit, boom, the next week, man, that church was packed. And I was like, holy cow. And like 2 weeks later, guess what? Back to normal, and people didn't care anymore. Because people, we forget this. This is what I'm going to end with. I'm going to exactly where we started. Because we forget that the verse 20:36, this is what we forget. From him, through him, and to him, and for him. Everything is for him. Everything came from him. Everything runs through him. And everything is for him. So when we talk about how we're grafted in, or why these are the chosen people, it's because that's what God wants. That's what God's promise was. God made a promise to Abraham. He's not going to break that promise. Just like he gave us a promise of our salvation through Jesus Christ, he's not going to break that promise. It's because it's by God, through God, for God. God is the answer and the beginning, the middle, and the end. That's what we know of God and the power of God. I don't even know if I hit any of my notes this morning, but that's what I feel like. That's what the Lord gave me. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you that this verse that just really filled my mind this morning, the concept that I struggled with so many times when I try to understand how you work, and I just can't understand because you're so great. And when I think about how great you are and how much you love me and how much you love people, then we're just stupid people that makes these errors and mistakes, and we don't follow what you want us to do, and we cause all sorts of problems, but you love us, and I have to figure that one out, Lord. And you know that. You know that we have this conversation, and I try to understand that. Lord, I thank you for my salvation. I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the promise that you made to Abraham. And Lord, I thank you for the Gentiles being allowed to be grafted into that root, that we then could have salvation through mercy and through grace. Lord, help us to remember that if everything is by you, through you, and for you. Help us to remember that this week. Lord, help us, Lord, to remember this week. Since there is... In your name I pray, amen. I'm going to say this. This week, remember, there was a student at Twin Valley who committed suicide. And I called the school the next day, and I talked to some people up there. I said, hey, if there's anything that you guys need, just call us. Let me know. Anything you need. If there's something that needs to be done, get the horn on a bunch of churches and pastors or whatever. And I talked to the administration, and I got some rundown. Church. This is what we have to remember here. This poor seventh grade, 13 or 14. Life was so, in their mind, life was so bad that they couldn't turn anywhere else except to kill themselves. People are hurting. We have the answers. And it might be your neighbor. It might be, you know, a guy at the gas station. It might be a lady standing behind the counter when you're buying something. It might be when you're walking on a trail in the woods and you meet a guy hunting. Whatever. You're at work. And then you might hear, well, you can't say anything about Jesus because that's not politically correct. And we keep things up. Bag that. Forget that. It's for God. All things are for God. So when we think about that this week, there's people in our community that are still trying to figure this out. So we have answers. We're dismissed.